All right, Arthur Grouse, Pierre Atterbridge, Atterbridge Law, and of course, Aldo's coming on regarding the eviction situation, where Suffolk County, unbeknownst to me, ranked fourth in the state regarding this stuff. And Alta's nice enough to give us a couple of minutes here on a Tuesday. Welcome, Alta Grouse here. Appreciate a few here. Talk to me about this. Rather alarming, especially both counties, but especially Suffolk County. Why is this?
Well, thank you, Jay, for having me again. Always happy to be here. We find that eviction is usually concentrated in low-income areas. Most eviction proceedings are non-payment proceedings. What I tell people is that there are two types of proceedings in landlord-tenant court. One is non-payment, which is clearly about non-payment of rent. Another one is called a holdover. A holdover is very much harder to maintain and less frequent. The holdover is based on some types of tenant conduct, right? That is objectionable, therefore the landlord seeks to evict, or it's based merely on the lease expiring, right? So those are the holdover cases, which are less frequent. The most frequent is that the landlord wants to be paid, which is a non-payment action. So most landlords will go to court on a non-payment action. It's also easier to bring. It's either you paid it or didn't, so it's easier to bring that type of case, and it actually gives them the most immediate relief, which is payment of the actual rent. I'll also say that in terms of non-payment, though they are very frequent, usually the tenant ends up paying. So it doesn't, I guess there are two sides, right? It's the most frequent case brought, but if the tenant pays and it cures the case, it cures the non-payment, therefore the non-payment case is over. What I'm finding is that in the Bronx, I have a case in Suffolk County coming up anytime now. But in the Bronx, folks don't show up, right? Tenants usually don't, or a lot of low-income tenants are not showing up. I'm not sure if it's access to the court system. I'm not sure what it is. But there is some type of correlation between the tenant being sued in a non-pay and the tenant not showing up. I don't know if it's buying time. I'm not sure. So a lot of non-pay proceedings lead to a default on the part of the tenant, which usually the way to get an eviction is that you sue for non-payment, the most common case, and most commonly the tenant doesn't show up. I'm guessing, again, that it's about buying time, since if you don't have the money, you think if you're not coming to court, then you are getting some time, and it usually leads to an eviction that way.
Alta Grouse, Pierre Atterbridge, talking about the filings, evictions, and everything else here. Suffolk ranking fourth in the state. So there's been a lot of government assistance as far as a lot of this, right?
Yes.
A lot of COVID-related rent relief from the government given. How much does this play into the decision process of whether one has to be evicted or not? Talk to me.
It plays a huge role. The correlation is that if you accepted ERAP monies, then you cannot evict the tenant for a year after the payment has been made. But it doesn't mean that the tenant can continue, cannot. So let's say the payment is made in May 2022 for the last 12 months, so from April to May, right? The 12 months before in May 2022, so you are not able to evict until May 2023, right? So that was a correlation in terms of eviction stopping for that year or the lower rate. However, a lot of what the landlords didn't know, some landlords felt afraid to bring a non-pay, even if the tenant didn't pay the subsequent month. What would happen is that some tenants got relief, let's say through May 2022. They thereafter did not pay the next month. They didn't pay. So a lot of landlords didn't know that. They believed that the 1 year ban on commencing an eviction after you received the money was absolute. It wasn't. You could still have brought another non-payment proceeding, right? But a lot of landlords didn't know that. As well, what happens is when you accept the ERAP money, you are saying that you're not going to evict the tenant for their lease expiring. Clearly, during that 1 year period that you're waiting, most leases are expiring. because, you know, leases are 1 or 2 years old, you agreed by accepting the money that you would not seek an eviction based on a termination of a lease. It's called a no cause, no grounds eviction, meaning that you are not, the tenant did nothing wrong except that their lease expired. So that was, there was also a ban on that if you took the money. So the ERAP, in short, the ERAP helped a lot. The emergency money helped a lot in terms of stopping evictions for that year, for these two reasons.
Interesting. And the subject data, by the way, excludes courts on the East End. It encompasses both residential and commercial eviction cases. Now, the bulk of the parties are people, not businesses, as far as I'm talking about Suffolk County here, folks. Suggesting a lot of these cases ought to involve residential leases, right? So last year, landlords in Suffolk saw a median of $1,800 in case alleging that they were owed rental or other payments, according to the analysis. So that's what it's all about. And we're looking at areas like Bayshore, a lot of filings, Quorum, Hempstead, I know, had a bunch in Nassau County there. So, and by the way, the volume of eviction cases in Nassau remains low compared to the last analysis that was done there. So that is the latest as far as that. You know, as far as one last thing now, and especially with the struggles from an economic standpoint, with inflation and everything else, I mean, is there any leniency involved here from a judge's standpoint as far as the final stamp on this stuff? I mean, is that it? I mean, eviction notices sent out? No, I mean, is there any way to somehow repair any notice advanced? All that's going on from an economic standpoint, what's the consensus regarding that?
Well, the court system has a lot of roadblocks to an eviction. So when you get, it starts with usually a petition and notice of petition. If you're doing it in housing court, that's something that you would, well, first you receive what we call a five. So there are many procedural hurdles, right? And those procedural hurdles for the landlord to overcome take about 6 months to a year. So by that time, the court has been involved. The court has exercised leniency because that judge would have had to stay for about 6 months, right? So when it gets to that end, there's not much they can do anymore because the case was before them for 6 months to a year already. However, if a tenant receives an eviction notice, they are able to come back to court and ask for more time. What I tell people is that before the pandemic, I remember asking for 8 or 9 extensions of time in the olden days, right? 2009, 2010, meaning you got 9 extra months, right? Now, what I'm seeing judge give is 2 extra months. So you can ask for time afterwards. After when you receive the eviction notice and if the marshal's at your door, you can still ask for time. So it's a very exhaustive process where everyone's looking out for the tenant. I think if we're looking at it from the landlord's perspective, from the tenant's perspective, the tenants, you know, and I do both sides. So the tenants don't believe that. But even with the marshal at your door, you can still ask for time. The marshal's also looking for reasons not to evict, believe it or not. If you're elderly, if you need adult protective services, if you need any, you know, if you are disabled, the marshal also has some discretion as to whether or not they choose to actually execute, or the sheriff, right, in Nassau, execute the eviction. So you have all, until the door is locked, you have a lot of chances. Ultimately, you can also run to court as soon as you get the eviction notice and ask for time. Usually the court will give the first time. That's easier. Second time, you get a harder time. After that, you're probably not going to get any more time.
Right. And the only other counties, you had Bronx, Schenectady, and what was the other? Rensselaer, I believe. So Rensselaer County, which is located on the east side of the Hudson River, directly opposite of Albany there. So that's the latest there. So we'll keep an eye on that. Can't thank you enough. Good stuff. Out the Grass Beata Bridge.